Today, as we continue our study through the book of Acts, we left Paul last time in the harbor of Fair Havens, and they were going to leave there because it was winter time, and it was getting dangerous to travel, and there was not a good place in this harbor to house for the to stay for the wintertime. So they were going to go 40 miles around the island of Crete there to the harbor at Phoenix. So Paul gave them a warning back in verse 10 that he feared that it would not be good for them to leave, that they should stay there because they are in danger of losing life and their ship and everything on this cargo ship that they were on. But they thought they knew better. So we find out today what happens as we go through this voyage with Paul and the other prisoners along on this Alexandrian Egyptian grain ship.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man,
the skipper brave and sure, five passengers set sail that day.
Welcome to the sermon introduction. Thought that would wake you up a little bit, kind of rouse you up. And that's just about what happened to Paul and the sailors and the prisoners and the soldiers in this journey as they launch out into the deep. So Paul is on his way over to Rome in Italy to give his testimony again, to testify in his own behalf before Caesar. And that's exactly where Jesus wanted him to go. Now, we would think if Jesus was sending him there, why wouldn't it be an easy trip? Why wouldn't he just have an easy pipeline to go up into Rome, to go there to preach and to teach and to whatever that God has for him to do there, to face another hearing where all this royalty and dignitary, right there before the emperor? Why wouldn't God make that easy? When has God ever made anything easy? There's no faith building in easy. Others can't see your faith in easy. No, God has a plan for it all, and oftentimes it calls for us to go through the most difficult, challenging things to our faith. If we have our Bibles this morning, let's begin reading there in verse 13 of Acts 27. It says, and when a moderate south wind came up, thinking that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along the shore of Crete. Let's pray together. Father God, as we look into your word, God, we see with this voyage that you have ordained. You were there with them the whole time. God, I pray that you help us to see through your word how the storms that come to our life, God, have meaning and purpose. And Lord, that as we voyage with Paul, and we voyage with these prisoners, we voyage with these soldiers, God, that you open our eyes up to see, God, you're with us the whole time that we go through our storms in this life. In Christ's name, amen. So there was this feeling of arrogance among these sailors. They were feeling pretty arrogant here. Paul gave them a warning not to go, but they stayed in Fair Havens Harbor long enough to when a little south breeze started to blow. They started getting a little confidence that they were going to have some fair sailing for a season of time. So these seasoned sailors, man, they weren't going to listen to Paul. They weren't going to listen to some prisoner. What's Paul's experiences? Why is he warning us to stay here? Man, look, we have perfect sailing weather. Let's leave port. Let's head on out toward Italy. So they relied on their own experiences. They relied on their own knowledge and really probably their little edgy personalities. These are seafaring individuals, type A personalities all the way. So So they were going to go ahead. Well, what's a little rough weather if we come in contact with it? Nothing we haven't faced before. Sometimes we do that in life. Sometimes we get a little arrogant ourselves when things, you know, we get a little break somewhere along the way. We get a little calm before the storm in our own lives. And man, we want to take it easy. We kind of get apathetic. We kind of get complacent. We kind of get drifting a little bit here. We're not totally seeking God like we should because all things are good. So we can learn a lot even here with these men going through this ship. The captain and his crew, man, they were motivated too. They were going to make a quick buck trying to get this grain, this wheat, all the way up into Italy during wintertime. Man, they were going to make a lot of money from this. So these seasons, the sailors and these soldiers there, 276 of them, they're on this ship all together. They're thinking it's nonsense what Paul is saying. Here's a little note to ourselves. When we start trusting in our own abilities, our own skills, our own knowledge, our own experiences to carry us through every situation, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. We are not that smart. Listen, I know a lot of scripture, but I'm not that smart to encounter everything that God throws at me. I need to trust Him. And you do too. Trusting God when all things, small and large, we have to listen to wisdom, even when it disagrees with what our plans are. Whoo, that's a wake-up call, Christian. You may make your plan, but God's going to guide your steps. Get on board with Him. Yeah, God put people in our circle of life, sometime to rein us in from our ambitions. Sometimes we have to be reeled back a little bit because we're so aggressive, we're so ambitious, we want to see it done our way that we don't understand that's not the right way. That's not the way that God wants it to be done for us. We continue reading about this journey. It becomes a little more difficult here for them. Verse 14 through verses 20. Scripture says this, but before long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euroquillo. Basically, it's a fierce storm with a northeast wind that blows east of in the eastern Mediterranean. It's really a cyclone. It's like a hurricane. You have that picture, James, of this storm? Yeah, I wouldn't like to be on the sea and look at something like that in a small sailing boat. Verse 15 says, and when the ship was caught in it and it could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be carried along. And running under the shelter of the small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. So this ship had a little skiff on the back of it that was used to go back and forth to shore or to work on the outsides of the boat. So as the bigger ship that carried everybody, it had a little support boat, a little skiff onto the back of it. So they were scarcely to get it in control. So now the winds and the waves began to pick up. The north wind was blowing. Now remember, this is around October, so it's starting to get winter times. Not like the heat of the middle of the summer, we get our hurricanes. This was a cold wind blowing upon them. So they were barely getting the boat under control. Verse 17, and after they had hoisted it up, so they brought the lifeboat, this spare boat, onto the side of the bigger ship. With supporting cables and undergirding the ship for fear it may run aground on the shallows of Syrtis, they let down the sea anchor and in its way let themselves be carried. They led up the sea anchors and carried them along. They were afraid that they were going to go down closer to Africa. There's a line there. This is the Cirrus. They were afraid that these shoals, that the sea was going to, the waves was going to push them down to this area and the boat be destroyed. So they were doing everything in their own abilities, their own wisdom, their own sea knowledge to protect their cargo, to protect their ship in this basically hurricane. But once they cast those anchors overboard, they secured and sealed the boat. In other words, now they're throwing ropes across the boat. This is a wooden structure. They're trying to rope it off, put cables around it to tighten it up to keep the wood from falling apart when the waves was hitting against it. They were doing everything that they could to make sure that they survived this storm. Verse 18 says, "And the next day we were being violently storm-tossed, and they began a jettison of the cargo." Jettison means they started throwing stuff overboard of the cargo, which was wheat, grain. They began to toss over all the very things that they were going to Italy for. Remember, Paul and the prisoners are just spare. That's just extra money. On these cargo ships, that's the only way that passengers go from one place to the next. There were not any passenger ships. No Carnival cruise lines with their buffet and fancy nights. So they start throwing cargo overboard. That's getting desperate now. Because all of that extra weight pushing down on the wood inside of the ship and the waves hitting across it, they were afraid of leaks. They were afraid that the ship would start falling apart. Take off some of that weight and the wood would not push against. It would hold together. Verse 19, "And on the third day," 3 days of this, "and on the third day, they cast the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands." The ship's tackle is like the furniture. They started throwing beds, they started throwing tables and chairs, even their own personal belongings, they started throwing it overboard to lighten the load. It was getting so desperate that now they were only concerned about their own lives. They were concerned about just making it through this storm alive. Verse 20 says, "And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us," so Luke throws himself back in there, "from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned." They were doing everything they could. They threw out anchors to help slow them down. They took in the skiff. They threw grain out to lighten the load. They threw their tackle. They threw their tables and chairs and beds and everything out just to give the boat a better opportunity to make it through the storm. But the storm was not letting up. It was just dragging the ship along in its fierce winds and waves. They couldn't navigate. They had no sun to go by because of the cloud. They had no stars at night. And this is the way in ancient times that the seafarers navigated the oceans, the open waters, when there was nothing to compare to. They couldn't see any of it. So they had no idea where they were located. They just knew they were being storm-tossed through this hurricane. Verse 20 says, "And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst of them, saying, 'Men, you ought to have followed my advice to not set sail from Crete and to avoid this damage.'" Man, that's the last thing you want to hear right now. When you think about what they have been going through, they were going through a storm in their life. The storm of their life. Think about it in our own lives. Man, we'll face seasonal storms. There'll be things that you and I will go through, and it's only a season. It may be months, it may be a few years. Most of the time, that's it. We need to hang in there. Sometimes these storms hit us hard in our own lives. Our faith and our well-being are challenged by so much pressure and opposition. We do everything that we know possible to stay afloat. We generally respond by following those common practices of advice and some wisdom from those prior experiences that we have. That's what we go. We go back to experience, just like these seafarers did, just like these sailors were doing on Paul's boat. Going back to what we know in our own lives. Well, we've been through this when we were 19. We've been through this when we were 25. We went through this when we were 40. We know those things. So we follow that advice. We go back to that wisdom to help us navigate through this situation we're in. We trust what we know. And for many small issues, that works. It works to help us navigate through the difficulties. Yet there are times when our storm exceeds our experiences and beyond anything we can control. That's where they were. It's where Paul and these sailors were. They were a boat being tossed around, doing everything they knew right to survive, and it was still beyond their control. It was way beyond their control. You see, God does give us more than we can handle. People get that messed up. I've heard so many people say, well, God would never give you more than you can handle. And they misquote a scripture. It says, when tempted, God will never tempt you more than what you are able. And when you're tempted, he gives you a way to escape. Has nothing to do with you going through a troubling time in life. God gives you storms in your life that are bigger than you so that you will trust him. If the storm wasn't bigger than you, then you wouldn't need him. So don't misquote a scripture. Don't take it out of context. Understand that God does give you more than you can handle. Oh, but listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Paul writes this. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen, Scripture reminds us that while we as believers may face immense and overwhelming hardships through life's storms, we will not be overcome by them because God's strength sustains us. You see this little commercial every now and then? I got shot, but did you die? I got shot, but did you die? We have to remember, a lot of things hurt. A lot of times we do some self-inflicted things too. There's some stuff we go through that we caused ourselves. And it seems bigger than us, but God is still in control. Here, Paul and them, the storm wasn't letting up. But Paul takes that advantage basically to say, I told you so. Because in verse 10, he gave them a warning before they left Fair Havens Harbor not to go. And now they've been battling this storm for 3 days, and Paul's basically like, if y'all would have listened to me, because I tried to tell you this, but here we are. You're losing everything. Trying to save our own lives. Don't you hate when somebody says, I told you so? Because you know they're right. They tried to give you some wisdom and some advice, and you just ignored it, and you just did your own thing anyway. And then when you pay the consequences for it, I told you so. I know. But Paul was pretty brave telling these soldiers and this crew, told you guys. Verse 22, he says, and now I advise you to be cheerful, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, for you will stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, be cheerful, men. I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island. Paul just says, I told you so, but be cheerful. We're going to make it. We're going to be alive. God has ordained me to go before Caesar, and he's assured me that all of you guys will be alive to be there. That's courageous. God has given him a word. He's giving them hope. He's giving them some understanding that the God I serve, the God I belong to, will get us there. Oh, listen, Christian, it's the God that you belong to that will get you there. There's ownership in your life. See, we are no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to God. When you say yes to Jesus and Jesus is your Savior, you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to Him. You're His child. You are His possession. You didn't find Him. He found you. And He saved you. He's called you to Himself. Paul said, I belong to God. And since I belong to Him, He will take care of me. And because He's taking care of me, He'll take care of you. God has given me assurance of that. Oh, listen, Paul. Here. He's given them assurance. Even these pagan unbelievers. That they will make it. In this life-threatening ride that they were on, filled with all this difficulty and danger and disaster, Paul's faith was strong. He knew that it was God that sent the storm. He knew that God was in the storm, and he knew that God was waiting for them on the other side of the storm. Rest assured this, Christian, when God sends a storm in your life, He already knows about the storm. He knows what you experience and go through. He's in the storm waiting for you, and He's on the other side waiting for you too. That's what it means to be an omnipotent God, omnipresent God. He's everywhere, and He's all-powerful. He's sovereign in over your situation. Won't you trust Him? See, you can do all the things like these sailors were. All the things, life experiences, man, we do this and do that. That's great. But your faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus. Because He's the one that sent the storm. So you mean that God was over that thing I went through 5 years ago that hurt so bad? Yep, you better believe it. When we say God is sovereign, that means He's over everything. He's in control of everything. Including your salvation. And just think when Paul stood up and said that, be cheerful. After he just told him, I told you so. He says, be cheerful, you're going to make it. What do these unbelievers see in Paul? Paul says, the God that I belong to, See, when you belong to God, you also serve God. Because Paul said, I belong to him and I serve him. Listen, Christian, when you belong to God, it is expected, it is mandated that you also serve him. Not just by showing up at church. Not just by reading your Bible. Not just by praying. But you serve God through serving people. And know this. There's always people watching you. These unbelievers were watching Paul. They didn't know much about him. He was a prisoner. But they also knew that the word got around. He really hadn't done anything wrong. Felix, Festus, they couldn't find that he did anything. Even King Agrippa couldn't find anything wrong. But he's going before the emperor. Even the centurion trusted him. People are watching us as we go through our storms. Why? Because they're observing what it means for our faith in Christ to be engaged in how we weather our losses, how we weather our disappointments, how we weather our changes. They're not looking for us to be perfect, but they want to see our faith engaged. They're watching how we process life and the changes we go through, and how do we continue to persevere to grow stronger in Christ. They're looking at us, and they're not expecting us to be perfect, but they want to see a real faith that we claim that we have engaged in the storm of life. And how are we doing? How are we managing? How are we processing it? And listen, as Christians, sometimes we think we're not doing so good. And there are some days that we may not feel like we're doing real good. And there are some days that we'll stumble around. But they're watching to see if that bottom line of our faith, at the very core of our being, is there. They're watching how we engage this storm that we are going through, how we engage that storm, trusting God to get us to the other side, knowing that he's involved in it, knowing he's sovereign over it, and knowing he will give the protection that he deems necessary for us to reach there. And sometimes he strips a lot away from us. If you've ever lost a house in a hurricane, or a tornado, you've lost family members, sometimes a lot can be stripped away from us. And God, strengthen us at the very core of our being, and there's people who are watching. He says he's a Christian, let's see. And then they admire, they stand back and they say, look how they're walking through this. I would be miserable and crushed. They are miserable and crushed. But they're not abandoned. You see, God's still with them. And they know where their strength comes from. And it's not inside. It's not lace up their bootstraps and go to work. They know that their strength is all in Christ who lives with them. Who said he would never forsake them or abandon them. Listen, Christian, God would never forsake you or abandon you. Whatever storm you're going through in your life right now, and if you're not in a storm, you probably just came out of one. If not, you're about to go in one. Welcome to the journey. God let them strip everything off of that ship that they possibly could. Grain, furniture, their luggage, just about everything off of that. They were doing everything they knew how, and God sends a word through Paul. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it. But you're going to lose this boat your own. Christian, that may be some things that God wants to take out of your life. Just take it so you'll trust him. Because as long as you have this, you have that job, you have that bank account, you have that home, you have that family, as long as you are putting them before God, God says, I'm a jealous God. He will take out of your life all things necessary, Christian, to get your focus on him, to worship him. So why would God do that? Because he loves you so much. You are his. And a loving, you won't spend eternity with him? That house don't mean anything. That job you had, as soon as you're buried and gone, they'd have somebody else in your place. Matter of fact, before the funeral's over with, they're advertising your job. I know this. I love this church, and I hope you love me. But I know this. As soon as I'm gone, you have to look for another pastor. I'm just here for a season. Been a long season for some of you. Probably a miserable season for some others. They're watching Paul. People are watching you. We're not told because of Paul's stance with the Lord and him being on board with him. We're not told if any of those sailors or any of those soldiers or any of those prisoners ever came to faith in Christ. We're not told that. But God is sovereign, and God put them all together for a purpose and a reason. And Paul stood in his faith. He engaged the storm, trusting God. And what impact it had on those men, we will never know, because God is stripping everything away from them to have them look directly at him. Now, I'm inclined to believe that the way God works, all those on that ship that he has called to salvation responded yes in faith. Paul said in verse 23, he said, an angel of God whom I belong and whom I serve. That ownership there. Oh man, God works in our life. He owns us. He says, be cheerful, men. For I believe that the God will turn out exactly as I've been told. It's all going to be okay. You will live. Verse 27 says, but when the 14th night, 2 weeks now, they've been adrift in the Mediterranean. But when the 14th night came, as we were carried about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to suspect that some land was approaching them. Verse 28. And then when they took soundings, they found it to be 20 fathoms. And what they would do is they would drop a rock on a rope, and they would drop it down into the sea. And a fathom is 6 feet long. They get that measurement from fingertip to fingertip outspread. That's one fathom. So they're saying it's 20 fathoms deep, which means it's about 120 feet. Well, a little bit later, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms or about 90 feet deep. So they realize that it's getting shallower. So these sailors, in their wisdom and knowledge of the sea, realized they were getting closer to a landmass. Verse 29, and fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast 4 anchors from the stern, the back of the boat, and were praying for daylight or for daybreak. These sailors realized that the water was getting shallower. Man, they were getting some hope that they were getting up to a landmass, but they still couldn't see where they were going. They didn't know exactly what was out there. It was dark. So here they are. wanting daylight to hurry up and get here. Verse 30 says, and when the sailors were trying to escape the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors of the boat. So here they are. They laid out anchors on the boat. The crew realized that the land was not too far away. They're now putting down that little skiff, that small boat. They're wanting to get on that boat and escape away from it. They're trying to get away from the main ship because the main ship had been beaten up so badly, they wanted to make sure that their life was intact. So these crew members lied about laying out more anchors, and they're trying to escape on this boat to get to the land. Verse 31 says, and Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. He said, oh, no, guys, you're not going anywhere. So these soldiers cut the ropes of the boat and let her roll. Because Paul knew if these crew left, they didn't know how to operate this ship. They were still at sea. They needed these guys to run, operate the ship for them. So here these soldiers cut away the boat so that the captain, the prisoners, the passengers, everybody would be safe and stay with the ship and then eventually work it toward the shore. Verse 33 says, until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. They had been at sea for 2 weeks. They hadn't been eating. Why? Probably because they were seasick. Have you ever been seasick? I worked offshore for a little while, and I had to get on a supply boat. They let me over that and sat on the supply boat. We had to count some pipe before we sent the boat off and to make sure we had all the stems of pipe because it was rented pipe. I get down there, and when you look down and the boat's going this way, you know what? This wants to come up. Nausea is not fun. These guys have been nauseated and seasick for 2 weeks. Paul is saying, listen, we need to be rescued. You need food. You need some energy. So Paul was encouraging them. He says, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is your salvation. For not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. And having said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God, in the presence of all. And he broke it and began to eat. They had Thanksgiving meal right there on the boat. And all of them became cheerful. And they themselves also took food. And all of us, verse 37, all of us in the ship were 276 persons. And when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. They were taking everything off the boat except their lives. Because they were going to try to get it to a landmass and beach it. So Paul encouraged them to eat. He says, for this is your salvation. He's not talking about spiritual salvation here. He's talking about you need some energy to swim if we have to swim. You're going to need something. You're going to drown out there in the water simply because you haven't eaten anything. You've been vomiting for 2 weeks. You haven't eaten anything. You're weary. Eat. Eat some bread. We're going to eat in just a little while. Quicker I finish this sermon, you will eat. So Paul turned that daylight meal, that breakfast meal, into a Thanksgiving meal. And he prayed God, thanking God for the food. And praying and thanking him for the passing of the storm. And sometimes we need to just praise God for the passing of the storm. Man, we have to be careful during our crisis time, crisis season, that we don't lose focus ourselves and stop taking care of our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual needs. We have to take care of this. to do the things that God has called us to do. All of us. It's difficult to carry on in life when we're empty. So now it's the shipwreck. You knew it was building up to that, but it's very quickly. Everything seems to have been settled down, and all the people were accounted for. Daylight is here. We can see the end of the tunnel now. They can see that there's a land mass right ahead. Verse 39 says, now when day came, they couldn't recognize the land, but after being in the sea for over 2 weeks in a storm, any land would do good. They couldn't recognize the land, but they were noticing that there was a bay and there was a beach, and they resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. They were going to try to beach the ship. They were trying to get close enough to land that baby doll right there on the beach, kind of like Gilligan's Island. The castaways. Verse 40, and casting off the anchors. So those anchors were so large, they're about 500 pounds apiece, that when you put them in the ground, they had to cut them off. You couldn't pull them back up. Those were like the security. Those were the emergency anchors. They cut off the anchors, let them fall, stay in the sea, loosening the ropes of the rudders, and they hoisted up the foresail, the front sail, into the wind, and they were heading to the beach. But striking a reef where the two seas met, the Mediterranean and the Adriatic, they run a vessel aground, and the bow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. Still some rough waves. Now the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. Now come on, the storm's gone. We're finally settled in. We just ate. Paul said, be cheerful. We see there's land right ahead. We're going to go into this beach, and we're going to beach this thing, and we'll be safe on the land again. All things, cut the anchors away, start easing toward into that bay. Lift up the foresail. Man, it's easy sailing. Then all of a sudden, smack, run aground on a reef that's under the water. And the boat stuck. But the waves are pushing, and it's starting to break apart this ship that was already weakened by the storm. Sometimes we go from storm to storm to storm. Man, after everything they've been through, this passenger crew, they've been through so much in this voyage, in this hurricane that they have been going through. So when was enough enough? You would think God would say, okay, Paul, you're finished now. Oh, no. Not only did they beach the boat, not only did they hit a reef with the boat, and it's falling apart, now these soldiers want to kill us. Because there is a law in Roman law that if a soldier was guarding a prisoner and the prisoner escaped, then that soldier now had to pay the penalty of what that prisoner had to do. So they were motivated to make sure that not any of these prisoners escaped. The boat was falling apart. It would have been easy for them to swim away. They don't have guns. All they have is spears and swords. It's hard to swing a sword if you're swimming for your own life to keep a prisoner back. They're wanting to kill them, so they would not have to pay the penalty. Most of these prisoners were going to Rome, so they would be in the Colosseum for the games. They would become gladiators, or they'd be food for fierce animals. Games in the Colosseum in Rome. So killing them now was no big deal. They were going to die anyway. Verse 43, but the centurion, wanting to bring Paul, he knew Paul was innocent, safely through, kept them from their intentions in order that those who would swim jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest should follow, some on planks or other various items from the ship that would float. So it happened that they all were brought safely to land. All of this, so difficult, so challenging. Have you ever felt like that before? That you get in this cycle of one crisis after another, after another, after another. Man, it may be one health issue that leads to another health issue, to another health issue, to another health issue. Or maybe it's somebody in your family that's going through health issues and you're getting worn down by trying to take care of them. And man, you're neglecting yourself and you're not taking care of yourself. And next thing you know, you're sick, so you're both sick. And it is one thing after another. You lose your job. And because of that, you can't pay this bill, that bill. Things are getting shut off. Things are getting taken back, you know. And you know, you're losing this. Man, it's just one thing after another. One death after another death after another death after another. How many times I've met with families who have lost two or three loved ones in a row. In year 2020 into 2021, I did 75 funerals in 18 months. 75. Told a preacher friend of mine that last week. He said, man, I hadn't done 75 in my whole ministry. One was a husband and wife, both died of COVID. They died 13 days apart. Another, a neighbor of ours, during things, same thing with COVID. He died that morning, she died that afternoon. Two different hospitals, they didn't even know it. Have you ever felt like you're just going through one crisis after another? As Paul was going through this, man, they've been trying to kill him for a couple of years. He'd been in prison for 2 years. He'd gone from one trial to the next trial to the next trial, innocent in all of them. Now he's going before Caesar, and he gets on a boat that's destined for a shipwreck. That's the fourth time he'd been shipwrecked in his ministry. One thing after another, after another, after another. Yet over and over again, God abided with Paul. He never left him. He allowed these things to go on in this life. Listen, God abides with us Christians. Even in each crisis, he's there with us. We get tired. We get weary. Man, it's the mental strain, it's the physical strain, it's the emotional strain, and yes, it's the spiritual strain. It's tiring. It takes its toll on our bodies and on our mind. It takes its toll on our soul. Our hope is not in our own ability. Our hope is on not what we know. Our hope is not in our experiences. Our hope and our security is in Christ himself. And sometimes we have to have all that stripped away from us to realize that there's nothing in us that can overcome this but Christ himself. We rest when we can and do it intentionally. We take care of our physical and our mental, emotional, our spiritual well-being as best we can. But we always have to know this, that this is beyond us. We can't govern and control things out there. All we can do is bow before our Lord and trust him. Do the things necessary. Eat when you need to. Rest when you need to. Because sometimes you have to swim out of the crisis. but God is there with you. Sing, come on, a little bit further. One more stroke. One more. Come on. There we go. You get your feet under you, Paul. You feel the land walk now. Listen, that's what God does for us. What kind of storm are you going through? What kind of crisis have you been through? Realize, just like Paul, all these other things are beyond you. But your faith in God is within you. Trust the Lord Jesus, who lives inside of you, to take the next step. Take the next breath and keep on walking. Let's pray together. As we stand together this morning, Father God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for every member. God, we have been through some storms together. And you've always given us the victory. Even in our losses, God, you still give us victory. Even in our disappointments. God, those storms you send, we know that you sent them. Life happens. But God, you promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, oftentimes we can't sense your presence real near, but you're there the whole time holding us up, walking with us, comforting us, strengthening us. Because you own us, we are your possession. Oh, Father, there's someone who needs to hear this morning. Because they're in a battle right now, God, that's beyond them, and they have no clue what to do. They're looking for human answers, and all the answer is in you. May they trust you. Maybe they just cry out to you, God, I trust you. I don't know what's going on, Lord, but I trust you. Have your way in our life this week, God. Day by day, moment by moment. Lord, as we fellowship time together this morning, I pray that you bless this time, bless this food, that we can enjoy one another's company as brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.